temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Say hey, fellas, what's your name?
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. That giant kid is great. When he hits the ball, it's long gone, man. Hits it farther than can't begin. Swings the bat like a little lead pipe. When they reach the ball, it's overripe. Say hey.
Say who?
Say Willie. Say hey.
Say who?
Swinging at the plate. Say hey.
Willie Mays, all you have to do is say the name, passes away at age 93, and that's one of those magical sports names from sort of a different time. It's like Joe DiMaggio or Babe Ruth or Joe Louis or Jesse Owens. I mean, it's that big. Bob Pompiani, Paul Zeiss with me, City Limits to my left. Man, I was looking at all kinds of stuff as I was doing a column today, and it's good to be with you guys. That had Willie Mays ranked, ESPN, for example, they put out all those Sports Century specials. They ranked all the athletes of the 20th century, and Willie Mays clocked in at number 8 behind Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, I think Wayne Gretzky, Jesse Owens, and Jim Thorpe. That's pretty good to come in number 8.
Just to be on that list is pretty good.
Yeah.
So when I saw this just the headline last night, it's that name. It's one of those guys, you know, and it's from a time. I don't know if you guys have any memories. I don't, of Willie Mays in his prime, but I knew from age 7 or 8. I got a bunch of relatives in New York. My dad's from Brooklyn. I read a lot of sports stories when I was a kid, so I knew at a very young age this might have been the greatest baseball player ever. He's in that conversation and might have been the coolest athlete to watch who ever walked the planet. Paul?
I think the biggest thing with Willie Mays is the number of people who think he's the greatest baseball player of all time. Very smart people, very studied people that, you know, older people obviously that have watched a lot of these guys play. The things that he was able to do in the outfield alone, forget about what he did at the plate, made him a magician. I mean, so to me, the that's the greatest compliment that I can, you know, when you hear guys like Bob Ryan talking about, you know,
yes,
if you read anything, what he was putting on Twitter yesterday, guys like that that have been around a long time talking about Willie Mays, it's incredible. It's just incredible how great this guy was. And it sounds like, and I never had the opportunity to interview him or talk to him or whatever, but it sounds like he was also an incredible human being, mm-hmm, beyond everything that happened on the field.
Yeah, I love what McCutcheon said yesterday,
yes,
which was, if you met him once, you had a story. Bob, did you ever meet him?
No. I wish I would have, because I've heard that from a number of people. But, you know, I don't remember all that much. I do remember, you know, you look at videos, and videos are our connection to the past in many ways now. Some of the stuff that you see from him validated, you know, the numbers that you see. Some people get caught up in, well, look, these numbers can't. The guy was a 24-time All-Star. Now, most people do not last
times
5 years in the league or 10. He lasted long enough so that he was a 24-time All-Star. Gold Gloves. If yeah, you want to make a comparison to
24-time All-Star.
If you want to make a comparison about Roberto Clemente's arm and his arm, I'll give the check mark to Clemente, but I think his was right up there with it. You know, and
he won 12 of those, Bob, and they didn't invent I was reading today, they didn't invent the Gold Glove till 57, or he would have had 16 of them.
But he was that reliable out there. If they had numbers like WAR, and I don't know if they can calculate back then into today's numbers, he'd have the best WAR number probably in the history of baseball, at least one of them. So all of that stuff is great because he was a great player, but everything I've read from people who knew him say that he was as great a person. And when you have that, man, that's, you know, I saw pictures and clips of him working with kids in the street. They would ask him, hey, Willie Mays, would you come? And then he would take time to hit balls with them.
Isn't it just the name, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the great sports names ever. It's just magical. Listen to this. Listen to the things that he did. Well, first of all, by the way, he missed his age 21 and 22 seasons because he joined the Army. He was drafted into the Army.
Yes.
He was rookie of the year at age 20 before that, and he hit 41 home runs in his first year back. You could make the argument pretty easily that stint in the Army may have cost him 70 or 80 home runs, which means...
And he was at 660, which put him over 700.
Put him over Babe Ruth.
Right.
If he doesn't go to the Army, he's the guy that Barry Bonds, his godson, is chasing.
Isn't that funny?
All those years later.
That. Right. I mean...
Think about that.
It's also interesting the relationship between him and Barry Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's one of the things that's always stood out to me, is that regardless of what you think about Barry Bonds, obviously Willie Mays was a big supporter and advocate of Barry Bonds.
Yeah, he was. I remember that, him always being around. But I don't think of him, I don't think a lot of people think of him as the potential home run king of all time. You think of him as, you know, the basket catches, the catch off Vic Wertz, the gold gloves, the speed. He had 5 steals of home, 7 inside the park homers, 4 home runs in a single game. And Tim Kirkchin did an amazing piece when Mays turned 90. He almost had, I forget, they had a nickname for this, like the Grand Slam of fielding. He wanted to throw out a guy at first, second, third, and home in the same game.
See, that'll never be done before again.
Well,
never.
He didn't get it done. I'll tell you why. He threw out a guy at first, a pitcher, on a line drive to center field.
You know, the one thing I always say, too.
And he threw a guy out at home in third, and he had him at second, Paul. He had the grand slam of fielding, but the dude at second dropped the ball on an easy tag, and he was in tears after the game because he knew that would never happen again. Go ahead, man.
We're looking at a catch.
I was going to say
Bobby Bonds and Willie Mays in the outfield and knocked him out, I think, if I remember.
What I was saying is I.
Oh my God. Did you see him jump on the wall?
Well, here's what I was going to say. What's amazing about Willie Mays, and we've seen all of these clips on, if you just go scroll through, you know, Twitter or whatever, people are reposting these clips of the catch that he makes that's like his most famous catch, you know, basket. The over-the-shoulder catch is probably like his 5th, 6th, maybe 8th best catches, based on what I saw yesterday. He made better catches than that.
And he spun and threw the ball to second with guys on base.
Yes.
In game 1 of the World Series.
There it is right there.
And again,
the reason that
this.
One
Watch
is
the
Paul,
throw, Bob.
Is
Watch the throw.
Of when it happened.
And he goes to the ground. How cool was it just to watch, like they said, Reggie Jackson said, people would watch him warm up the way they do Steph Curry, because he would do the basket catches and warm-ups, and he had certain little routines and warm-ups that people would show up to just to watch him warm up for the games. That's how awesome he was.
I mean, he was the guy you would pay to see, regardless if your team was good and the other team wasn't. It didn't matter who was playing that day and where they were in the standings. Willie Mays is coming to town. You want to be there.
Exactly. I have a little Willie Mays story. I've told this a number of times on the air. Ron used to enjoy it. With my dad, who was from Brooklyn, driving outside of Shea Stadium in 1975 or thereabouts. So Willie Mays is 2 years into retirement. I'm like 8 or 9 years old. We're in traffic in Queens, Shea Stadium. You can see the stadium. There's a pink Cadillac right in front of us to our right with a license plate that said, "Say Hey." My dad says, "That's Willie Mays." I said, "No, it's not." He said, "It sure is. They called him the Say Hey Kid. That's Willie Mays."
We know the origin of that nickname, by the way?
I read a piece on that this morning. They didn't know. It's still very mysterious. So we pull up next to Willie Mays in traffic. I roll down the window like we had to do back then, actually manually roll it down. I'm a little kid, and I say, "Hi, Willie," just like that. His window's already down. He looks over and gives me a little wave like that. He didn't say anything, but even that was cool.
So you were right. He was in the car.
Yeah, that memory, that snapshot is with me for the rest of my life. And I called my dad last night, who's 93, just to make sure we had the same memory.
Wow.
Same age as Willie.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Like, you know, just like a couple days ago when Jerry West died.
Yes.
Same kind of thing.
Like icon.
The stories that you read and the, you know, the stories that people tell you about them, it's, you know, it's incredible to me.
Just like, and then prior to that, it was Bill Walton, Jerry West, and Willie Mays, all in order. Like
yeah,
that.
Man.
Crazy.
So it evokes all kinds of discussions here. Oh, here's one other little thing. He became sort of the poster child for the guy who hung on too long. I actually respected him for that. And in 1973 was the year where he fell apart. And that's the images that people always take when they say, you know, somebody's about to retire. Right. You don't want to be the next Willie Mays. That's the phrase, right? In 72, at the age of 41, his second last year, he comes back to New York to the Mets. Check this out. In 195 at-bats with the Mets that season, age 41, he had 8 home runs with a .408 on base percentage and an .848 OPS. A 41-year-old Mays 41. Would have batted cleanup for these Pirates.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. That's incredible. And only 195 at-bats.
Yes.
He made the most of them.
I mean, yeah. And again, when you get a guy who has legendary status, I think that's the kind of stuff that puts him there. It's like he did stuff that was otherworldly, even among the elite athletes. You know what I mean? Like, even among Major League Baseball players, what he did was in a different planet, was on a different planet.
They'd watch him. They'd watch him like a kid.
Why wouldn't you? If you were a young player, especially. Yeah. I mean, you have that guy rolling around out there. And if you can learn by just watching his work ethic.
Steve Blass had a great story. Clemente gets his 3,000th hit. September 30th, 1972, right? Mm-hmm. Against John Matlack of the Mets. Mays is a part-time player for the Mets in 72. So Clemente goes, it's the fourth inning, Clemente goes to second base. There's that classic mm-hmm. photo. Nobody could have known it would be his final regular season hit at 3,000. Waves it to the crowd. Goes out to right field to play the top of the fifth, then comes out of the game. In the dugout, who comes walking across the infield to congratulate him and give him a big hug? Willie Blanken Mays. So it's Mays and Clemente, and there's a shot of that.
Is there? I've never seen a shot of that.
I'll show you.
There is one out on the internet. There is definitely
there's
one on the
one on top of the column I wrote. Here it is from the dugout.
Wow.
Mays and Clemente in the Pirates dugout. Look at this,
that.
Paul.
Yeah.
How about that? They played in the same outfield in the 1950s for 1 year in some winter league somewhere. Did a baseball ever hit the grass in that outfield?
There were only two of them in the outfield. They didn't need three.
Yeah, that's right. That's the line I should have used. They went with two in the outfield.
Right. That I'm right now I'm looking at some of the seasons he had.
It's sick, isn't it?
It's ridiculous.
You can look at any number. Stolen bases, home runs, RBIs, total bases, triples, whatever you want. Runs, hits, average. Career 300 hitter, I might add.
See, that's the one thing, more than any of these other numbers, that impresses me. That he hit those kinds of numbers, had 660 home runs, all the stuff, but he was a 300-plus hitter. I mean, it's just,
right.
That doesn't normally happen with guys who have that kind of power.
Yeah, and that's why Steve Blass says maybe top three, and others would say maybe the top one baseball player of all time.
His slash line in 65 was .317, .398, .645.
How many homers?
He had 52 home runs and 112 RBI. I mean, that's
and I bet
those
you 20
numbers,
plus steals.
Those numbers just are stupid to me. I'm sorry. I mean,
it brings up a bunch of different topics or questions to play off that, like. Who's the greatest athlete in sports right now? In all of sports.
Greatest athlete.
Yeah. Who's the however you want to define.
Define athlete, because it would, you know, I mean, if.
However you want to.
I mean, I could make a case for Connor McDavid.
Mm.
I know that,
especially after last night.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, I know that we don't. A lot of times we have these conversations, we don't put hockey, you know, we forget about hockey players. But in terms of, if you're defining best player at his sport with respect to the field.
I could put Mario Lemieux on
top
of that.
And even with respect to the all-time field, not just the current field. That's a great pick.
I mean, Connor McDavid, I saw something this morning. If he scores, say they win and it goes game seven. If he has a total of 4 points in the next two games,
right,
he's going to break the all-time record scoring in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
By Gretzky had like four of those marks. He's erased two already. Lemieux is next, and then him.
Yeah, and so there's that. I mean,
he's a great pick, man.
I would say that is probably one. I'm trying to think. I mean,
Mahomes.
Obviously Mahomes and Ohtani.
And Ohtani.
Yes. What about Tom Brady? Now, if you're looking strictly at defined athlete.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking.
He's talking
right now.
Yeah.
Active. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This list I'm looking at from Ranker.com has soccer players at the top, which, you know, for worldwide appeal, he's got Ronaldo, Messi, McDavid third, a red Formula One driver. How do you say his name? Max Verstappen. Yeah, he's fourth. Luka Doncic, fifth? Are you kidding me?
No, Luka Doncic wouldn't be on my list right now.
Ohtani's in there and Mahomes is in there in terms of top 10 on the planet right now.
I would tell you Ohtani and Connor McDavid and Mahomes are the three that I would say are the top three.
I think that's a pretty good pick.
I like the NBA. Ronaldo is one of those guys that you'd have to put on there just because of what he's accomplished. And you know, especially as getting older in this sport, he continues to be at that level. So,
who's the best athlete in Pittsburgh right now? Sid?
I'll say Sid.
Better than TJ Watt in his sport?
I just think.
Paul Skeens
is getting there fast.
After only about eight starts, it's hard for me to.
I would say right now is probably TJ Watt.
More so than Crosby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think TJ Watt.
Right now.
I agree with that. I think it goes TJ Watt, Crosby, Skeens right now, the best athletes in Pittsburgh sports.
I'm trying to think if there's anyone else who's even on the list who would be in the top five there.
Jason DeLay, maybe.
Well,
well, I know Rowdy isn't on it, although he's been hot lately.
Rowdy's getting there.
No, I mean, you know. Here's the thing. He's not there yet, but he could be there at some point. Is O'Neal Cruz?
Mm-hmm.
He's not there yet, but he could be.
He's got that kind of talent to get there, no doubt.
He does. That's probably a good discussion, but it is probably, you know, the more you think about it, currently right now. Although TJ's getting up there in age, as is Sid.
Who's the greatest athlete you've ever seen in person?
So I'm going to say Mario Lemieux.
Not just Pittsburgh, any athlete.
Oh, any athlete.
Yeah.
He's still on my list up there very high.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds is too. And this is before he ever went to San Francisco. I had that kind of appreciation for him here.
For me, it's probably Michael Jordan. And believe it or not, I was at the game in Cleveland where he scored over and under Craig Elo on that final shot. My dad, my brother, and I drove to Cleveland and we watched that game five. So for me, it's Michael Jordan, Paul. Who's the greatest athlete you've ever seen in person?
Jordan, obviously. Although, I did.
Mario's probably second for
Mario,
me.
Mario, given everything he's done, and the fact of how many years he missed with all his problems.
I did see Tiger Woods live.
So did I.
Ooh.
So, Tiger Woods, Jordan. I mean.
Did either of you see Ali fight?
No, not live.
I wish I would have. That's one thing I wish and I had a couple of chances
did you meet
to
him?
Do it.
Either you meet him? Paul?
I've never met Muhammad Ali, no.
I'll tell you,
one of the coolest things I ever did was go to the Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville. Have you ever been there? It's unbelievable. It's actually more like a cultural center than just a straight museum. But it's incredible. It really is.
Well, I mean, there's so many great ones. if you're going to define for, you know, I'll go golf on Arnold Palmer just because of his worldwide appeal and what he did for the game. It's
that's a good one.
It went to, you know, he was before Tiger. Tiger did what he continued to do what Arnold did. But I mean, not many people are going to come to that conclusion, I don't think. But he deserves to be on that list.
How about, in these discussions get sort of cliche after a while, but in light of the passing of Willie Mays, I kind of like the topic. Your Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh athletes, not Pittsburgh sports figures, but athletes. What is it? Mario,
Joe Green would certainly merit consideration.
Clemente and Sid?
Clemente.
Paul?
Some people will fight you on two hockey players on that list, but how could you deny it?
I'm just thinking out loud here. Mario, Joe Green, Clemente, and Sid.
That's your Mount Rushmore?
I'm probably forgetting somebody here.
Joe Green, I would say, is definite. Mario is definite. What about Clemente?
Well, we have Clemente.
Is he a lock?
For me, if we're including just, yes, he's
okay,
a lock.
Okay, so Clemente's a lock.
For me.
We're saying Green, I think Joe Green is a lock, and Mario's a lock. It's that fourth one that people are going to argue about.
It'd be hard.
Who's in the race?
It would be hard not to include Sidney Crosby, though, for everything that he's done and the championships won and just the overall number of accomplishments. It's unequaled in hockey. I mean, he's done things on the entire resume that Wayne Gretzky hasn't.
Who's on that? Who's
I would
in
put
the race?
Arnold Palmer. I would put Arnold Palmer.
I like Arnold too, but again, people out there who don't follow golf won't look at that the same way.
Arnold Palmer fighting it out for the fourth spot.
Arnold
on
Palmer
this club.
Is probably there. I mean, listen, say whatever you want to say, but Terry Bradshaw.
I was just going to say that.
Or Franco.
Well, there are so many Steelers from that era.
Well, I mean, I think there's three
Ralph
from that
Blunt
era.
Changed the
there,
game
there's and... probably four from that era. Lambert, right? Lambert, Bradshaw, Franco, and Mean Joe Green. And I would say you'd have to have two of those on and not two Penguins.
You wouldn't put Blunt in any of that?
Or Ham?
No. I mean, listen, they're...
If you include sort of iconic status.
We're talking about the all-time great. So me saying no is not saying that I don't think Mel Blunt is. I'm saying we're talking about the top four,
which is a difficult thing
to do.
It's tough to deny Sid that spot on Mount Rushmore with three cups and everything else.
The entire resume is bigger than most everyone in hockey.
Well...
Give me a quick snapshot of Arnold Palmer's all-time resume. I mean, sort of revolutionized
like
the
majors,
game in a way.
Just
beyond all the
right,
wins.
He took it overseas and made it into what it is. He, you know, the people, when you talk about the Arnie's Army, if you look back at the history of that, you'll see how people all over the world were doing it. And he became one of these people because of his personality, his willingness, sort of, you mentioned Willie Mays at the top of this, what he meant as a person and as an ambassador for the game. That's exactly what Arnold Palmer was. He won significant events. He doesn't have as many majors as, you know, Tiger or Jack or any of those guys. But his influence on the game and his ability to grow the game overseas the way he did.
What about if we're including all-time, and I know the only one that I know that saw him play and interviewed him was Ron. What about Hannes Wagner?
Again, because it's out of sight, out of mind for me, it's hard for me to come to that conclusion. But you wouldn't be wrong. You know, I mean,
that's talk about an iconic, great all-time athlete whose name is still known because of what he fetches in the card industry. What about him, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I can't deny that. You're going to have more on than four.
We can only go four.
You're going to have to buy another mountain and get some chiseler out there with the, you know, who can carve into it.
I mean, let's see. Hannes Wagner played.
I mean, he has to be in this conversation at least, right? Deion did this exercise in 2020. Would you like to hear his top six, Bob?
Sure.
Mario, Hannes Wagner, Joe Green, Sid. It's tough to leave out Clemente, but you have to leave out somebody. Clemente's five, Stargell six, Bradshaw seven, Palmer eight, Josh Gibson, what about him?
Another one.
Nine, and Harry Greb, the boxer, at 10. What about Josh Gibson?
That's a good name,
too. It's a good name. It certainly is. And, you know, given the fact that you have now put his name in the all-time record books. But
I'll say
to
this.
Me, it goes back to where when you don't have a chance to watch someone play in person, yeah. It kind of affects how you view it. And that's my bad for doing that. But I'm just saying, I don't know, other than reading clips about Honus Wagner, I don't know much.
I mean, if I tell you, and I'm just being a lawyer, if I were to make his case, he won 8 National League batting titles, 8 batting titles, and led the Pirates to their first ever World Series. And then like in death, became bigger than he ever was in life because of what his card. He's like an all-time baseball icon.
The story about his card, though, that they used to sell trading cards with tobacco, with cigarettes or chew or whatever, and he was vehemently against that.
Yes.
So he put a stop to it, which is why there was only like 7 or 8 of his cards out there. Is that a true story as to why they're so valuable?
But it would,
you know,
make
what?
Sense.
We have
it
the general
sense.
On later today to talk about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, we can ask him.
Which is perfect. But even so, forget about all that. He was an incredible defender, 8 batting titles, and a World Series.
I can't, because so if you're reading that Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Clemente in his Mount Rushmore. I
have to have Clemente.
You have to have Clemente in.
Is Mean Joe Green on the Mount Rushmore based as much on his status as the man who changed the Steelers' fortunes forever as he is for strictly his... He was obviously a great, 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 great player. But, you know... Somebody else in history could match his resume simply as a player.
It's the same argument you would bring with Arnold. He did what Arnold did globally. He did to the Steelers and their foundation. He was the number one reason why that thing turned. He was the person.
Yeah, there's, if you look there, at the numbers, there's more
how
than
many
just
NFL
the player.
And defensive or
and I think that's the thing about any of these Mount Rushmore discussions. It's not just about what they did on the field.
Yeah. I agree with
and
that.
And that's why, and I hate to say this because I know that I'll get criticized completely. Sidney Crosby's been a great, great hockey player. Off the field, he's been very private and quiet. He does a lot for the community. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in terms of larger than life people, I don't view him the same way that you would a Joe Green, a Clemente.
Personality-wise?
A Mario.
A lot of that is because he does not put it out there himself.
I'm just saying.
But also you have to include that his presence saved the franchise like Mario did.
No question.
The fact he was drafted and they only got they don't get a new arena or stay here without Sid.
Well, I mean,
so to me, it's way bigger than just his on-ice accomplishments for me.
And I agree with that. And I know a lot of what he's done. I didn't
say that he doesn't do anything. What I'm saying is when you talk about larger-than-life person – personas, personalities, and everything else, legendary type people. I don't put him in that category. I think he was a legendary player. That's all.
How about Harry Greb?
I don't know a thing about him.
I don't know much about Harry Greb.
He's the best boxer we came up with. All right, did he win? I mean, wasn't Michael Moore from Manesson?
Yeah, he was at the
wasn't
time.
Wasn't he?
Top of the mountain.
Wait, Harry. What is it? Greb? Greb?
Yes.
Didn't Michael Moore? Didn't he win the heavyweight title?
Yeah. That's
at
what
one
I'm saying.
Point.
So if someone from Pitt, but again,
well,
that
okay.
was
Harry Greb. First of all,
I don't want to get too much into Harry Greb.
Wait, hold up. He was an American. First of all, he's a light heavyweight champion from 22 to 23, world middleweight. See, you got to be a heavyweight. In my mind, you got to be a heavyweight.
Is that true, Bob? Because my all-time favorite boxer is Sugar Ray Leonard.
I agree. He's my all-time as well. He's mine as well.
He could have fought City Limits at 147.
But let's face it. You want to know why boxing has fallen apart? You want to know why boxing? UFC has hurt. But the other part of it is the heavyweight division just has always been the most compelling division. Guys want to watch. People want to watch the biggest guys blast away at each other.
But
here you go. This Harry Greb fought 299 times. Hey, 261 wins, 16 losses, 19 draws. There we go. He was the, let's see, he was the heavyweight.
299 times, the punches he would have taken in that time.
Imagine Harry Greb in
his Here's the amazing thing
That's
about that.
That's when guys fought like every other month. Or, right. You know, they didn't
Thoughts
take a whole
on
year
Harry
off.
Greb 412.
Wait, can I give you this? You'll like this. Harry Greb fought 299 times, right?
Yeah.
He died at age 32.
I mean,
when you fight that much,
so my it point had to is, be. My point is, so let's say he started fighting when he was about 18 and he stopped when he was 31. Like in 12, 13 years, he had 300 fights? Give me, what in the world?
Dayon points out, though, that famed boxing writer Bert Sugar ranked Greb as the fifth greatest fighter pound for pound of all time.
All right.
But you know what? I'm glad that boxing, we might as well mention horse racing, because they were king in baseball. Mm-hmm. Were the kings of American sport at one time.
They absolutely
and,
were.
And that's what I'm talking about with Willie Mays. Like, this name just evokes images of a time does. In American sports when that I wasn't part of, that
there
I didn't see. But
there,
but it was clearly magical, right?
Wait, Michael yes. Moore, Billy Kahn, Paul Spadafore.
How about Fritzy Zivic?
Harry Greb would have beaten them all at once.
I'm looking up the greatest, but you know what's funny, though? Has there ever been like a Kentucky Derby horse born and bred like here in Western PA?
Huh? I don't know.
Four legs discounted.
I got into an argument with somebody. You'll love this, Joe, because this is your kind of argument.
I know what it's going to be. Our horses athletes.
Yeah, our horses athletes. I got into an argument. I said, yes, horses are athletes. They have to be considered, you know, because it was the year that, what was the one horse that won the Triple Crown maybe 6, 10, 12, whatever year?
Oh, the most recent one.
I think it was the, remember there was two that won them like almost back-to-back years or whatever, but the one was made Sportsman of the Year by Sports Illustrated.
Secretariat was like in the top 30 of all-time athletes.
Yes, and that's what I said. You know.
Bob, you have to at least be able to comment on the game and know you were in a game to be considered an athlete. And no, I don't think a horse knows that he was just in a competition.
No, I would say absolutely not to that, but there are those who will disagree. So that's your opinion. No horse.
All right.
No horse play on that one for me.
Well, it's the passing of the great, great Willie Mays. And it led us all the way to a conversation on the Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh sports, athletes only. Who's on yours? 412-928-9370. The general coming up next, we can ask him about this phenomenon of the Honus Wagner card that Paul was asking about here. There's a lot to talk about elsewhere, too, including the Pirates, a little bit of Penguins, rumors floating around, lots of Steelers stuff, including Mr. Big Chest himself with a couple of proclamations.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door. In as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Look what they've done to my song, Ma.
One more thing about
Look
the great Willie Mays.
Done to my song.
He was a six-tool player because he also beat you with his mind. There were some great stories out there from old Giant.
I like that, six-tool. Never hear that, but that's a good one.
Yeah, man. He would shout in instructions to his pitcher. From center field, relay signals and things like that, where to pitch guys. And they said the catcher, I forget the name of the catcher for the Giants for a lot of those years, said there were three people in our pregame meetings on how to attack opposing hitters. Me, that day's pitcher, and Willie Mays.
Wow.
An unbelievable base runner on top of that. Wouldn't see him running to third base with a ground ball in front of him. Rowdy, would you?
How about that? Those kinds of plays really make you crazy.
Now, last night's play from McCutchen, I didn't mind. That was not a dumb play. That was, to me at least, an aggressive play where you're probably looking at it saying, are we going to get a run by conventional means here?
Yeah,
or am I
get that.
Or am I going to take a chance that I'm going to score on this hit to center?
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, totally, because of the lack of quality hits in big situations.
Yeah. Paul, do you agree with that?
Sometimes you got to manufacture.
When McCutchen got caught on the bases, he was going to score on that shot to center. And then he got thrown out. He got doubled off first. He was already halfway to third. I did not have a problem with that.
Well,
I mean, that's aggressive.
We talk about great catches. That was a pretty incredible catch.
Really good.
And I think, you know, the only thing I would argue there is if you're McCutchen, I think you run to second because if he catches it, you can get back to first.
And if he does, but you probably won't score.
And if he doesn't catch it, you're scoring from second. It's bouncing off the wall.
Maybe.
That's a ball that's tailing away from a guy. There's no question you're scoring on that.
I don't know. If it bounces off the wall right to him, because he was right up against the wall.
Right, but you got to remember, he's running full speed backwards. He's trying to make the catch. Guys that catch it off the wall, they're, okay, the wall's there. They're stopping and pulling back so that they can play the bounce.
Yeah, maybe.
They're not playing the bounce there. So, I mean, listen, I'm with you. It was aggressive. Right? It was aggressive, and I don't have a problem with it. But I don't know that it was the smartest play because, again, I think if he runs and he kind of rounds second, but he stops to see, okay, what's happening back there, once he catches it, he can sprint back to first and get there. And if he doesn't catch it, because of the way that the play was happening, he can score.
I just think when you don't hit, you have to take it upon yourself sometimes to do things to, quote, manufacture a run. That's what it is. It's, you're doing something that you probably shouldn't do, maybe, but you're trying to make something happen. And that's where this team is too consistently. They're leaving guys on base. They're not coming up with big enough hits.
I mean, Lodolo is a great pitcher.
He's a very good pitcher.
But
Falter gave up two runs.
That, I know.
2-1 game again.
You don't want, as Brian Burke said, you don't want to show up with knives to a gunfight, and the Pirates do it every night.
Yeah, and this is not one night we're talking about. It happens far too often with this team, which is why I think they need to add on to this team.
Another question you can spin off the Maze passing, and I just saw Colin in the hallway. He raised this one. We'll raise it at 11. Who is now the greatest living ball player? We'll do that. But first, the general. It's time for Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. And that means Jeff Patton, General Patton, we like to call him, is on the line. Your chance to win the Card of the Week comes from going to our website, 937thefan.com, and our contesting page. Right around noon between Wednesday and Friday, General, I don't know that there's a guess that needs to be made this week. I'm imagining it's the Say Hey Kid. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, there's a little bit of a two-fork road this week. We'd already turned the Card of the Week in before the passing of Say Hey Kid. So obviously we're going to commemorate. It's one of the interesting things about this business. There's two prongs, really. There's the paying homage to the greats, hence the term memorabilia, derivative of the memories we have. Going to give away a Willie Mays 1975 card. The other card we'd already picked, maybe the best card we've ever given away value-wise, it's an autographed Paul Skenes card. Mm. That's the other fork in the road in this, because it's become inevitable. Skenes is what people are after. This is an autographed Skenes card from last year. He only autographed 10 of them. That's the other portion of this industry, is the looking forward. It's kind of what's interesting about it is half the people come in to commemorate greatness, much like Willie Mays, and the other half in a speculative sense of who might be great.
Yeah, man.
So we're giving away a Paul Skenes autograph card and a Say Hey Kid.
I can tell you about Paul Skenes, General, only because we had a ball at my golf tournament. We had some auction items, and it was one of them. They put just a price on it to start, because you always like to start low with these kinds of things, at like $100 mm-hmm. bucks. Do you know what it went up to?
Right about $700 or something.
$750.
Yeah.
For a ball, you know. But and exactly. He's how many games is he into his career? That's what people are after. You're right.
No, and Mr. Pompiani, the thing is this, like a good, really good rookie, like you think about Mitch Keller when he came up, or even Jared Jones, and that would be a $125 ball, right? This is Jordan, not Pippen. I mean, Pippen was great, and then there was Michael Jordan. Gaines is Jordan, you know, so, and Willie Mays also was. It's an interesting anecdote. I like to ask the players that we have come in here that have played in the past an interesting question. It kind of gets them off guard. I ask, if you could get one player's autograph, who would it be? You would not believe how many baseball guys usually won't say a baseball guy. They'll usually say a basketball or a golfer. The number one answer from alumni baseball players is Willie Mays. Mm. And this is before his passing. I had multiple players tell me the only guy I've ever asked for an autograph was Willie Mays.
Wow. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
The clubhouse, that's about the highest honor you can get.
I'll say, Paul Zeiss here was asking General about, because this led to a conversation about all-time baseball players, all-time Pirates, about how the Honus Wagner card became such a prize. Like, why was it that it became what it became, worth all those millions, and probably still is, right?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. There's something that you can never make up for, and that's time, right? None of us saw Wagner play. There are people that saw Mays play or Mantle play, but you're talking about that's 115 years ago, right? Like, so that's a big gap. And if you take American history and kind of put it in a pie, that's like ancient American history, right? Like, and for a piece of paper that was distributed in tobacco packages to survive 115 years, combine that with the mythology of having the card withdrawn because Wagner was a protester of tobacco, allegedly. More likely, he didn't get paid. And that's why he wanted the cards back. But it's thought there's only 60 of those cards in existence, and most of them are in Western PA because he resided in Carnegie, and he retracted the cards. But it's the mythology with that card more than anything.
You got any there?
Yeah.
No. I do this all day, every day. We have 20 million cards in the building, and I've seen that card one or two times.
20 million.
Years.
My goodness. I didn't know you had that kind of inventory.
Yeah, we need more room.
Do you have a Rowdy Tellez card?
We have plenty of Rowdy Tellez cards.
So if he gets hot,
the value's going up.
Through the roof.
Exactly right. Hey, listen, you know how baseball works, and they talk about the back of the baseball card. So if that's the case, then he's due to have a big second half.
He might. The 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And right now, the General Patton on the line, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, Starkey's Card of the Week. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday around noon, 93.7thefan.com's contesting page. And he's got a Paul Skeens autographed card. Is he in a Pirate uniform in this card?
He is in a Pirate uniform, yes, sir.
And Willie Mays is from 75, so he was 2 years out of the game. So was it sort of a retrospective type card in 75?
It was. He was still on the Mets staff. And he's in a Mets uniform in Shea Stadium.
Wow, man. What a combo this week. Thank you, General.
You're welcome. You guys have a good week.
All right. See you, General.
You too.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What a man he is, huh, Bob?
20 million cards?
Yeah. Have you
I
ever
can't
been
even
there?
Imagine. No, I haven't been there.
It's amazing when you go there.
It's amazing when you go there.
Yeah.
What
Paul
see.
Went there with me this year.
It really is.
It's a walk back in time, and any card you want within reason, like probably not the Honus Wagner card, he'll come up with. Who do you have for you? Florida Charlie Ward, maybe? Or Dion? Didn't he come up with a Dion card?
He came up with some Warren Moon cards.
Warren Moon.
Couple of Oilers like that. Warren Moon, maybe, I think he gave me an Earl Campbell card.
Bob McAdoo and Randy Smith. Who would you want, Bob?
Is this going to golf?
I bet Ben Hogan. Oh, he'll help you out.
I'll tell you one of the coolest. He gave me that photo of Bobby Bowden and Bill Mazeroski on the golf course, signed by both.
Oh wow! Is that already up in the man cave?
Oh yeah, it's up. It's up. It's up. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's hard to get people to, like, when you have multiple people in a picture, to get them all signed. The actual people in the picture.
Bob, if you walked into this store, you wouldn't want to leave. It's that type of thing.
You walk right into your childhood.
There's millions of photos like that. There's millions of bats and hockey sticks and pucks and helmets. and that, you know, we didn't,
it's hard for me.
We're not even talking about the cards themselves.
Yeah. To gather all that stuff.
Yeah.
And to get it all signed is just insane.
There's this little video on Twitter. Ernie Banks, Frank Robinson, Henry Aaron, and Willie Mays chat before the 1957 All-Star game in St. Louis. Could you imagine that photo with all four of them signing it?
Wow.
What would that be worth?
I wish the general was still here. Text him, City Limits, and ask him that. Ask him those two. What was your question, Bob?
Ben Hogan.
If he has a Ben Hogan card for Bob, and how much would this photo or a photo of who, Paul?
It is Ernie Banks, Frank Robinson, Henry Aaron, and Willie Mays at the 1957 All-Star game in St. Louis.
Yeah, how much would that be worth? Coming up, Mr. Big Chest has some opinions. What do we think of this? The Penguins may have a realistic trade target and a guy who could help them, according to Matt Wenzel. And also, again, sort of an offshoot of the Willie Mays conversation, who's the greatest living baseball player right now? I'll give you a list of names. We can choose from those next.